On Sunday evening, the 8th of March, 1713, four men were lying in wait to rob a passerby in a dark London street. A man was walking towards his house in Hackney after fulfilling a preaching engagement. The thieves ran off with the equivalent of 50 pence. The victim was Matthew Henry, and his reaction to being mugged can be summarised in 3 points. First, he said, "I must immediately praise God that considering the large amount of travelling I have done, this is the first time I have been robbed. Secondly, I must pray for the four men who love money so much that they would do such a thing. And thirdly, I am more than ever convinced of the ultimate emptiness of the wealth of this world. After all, how quickly you can lose it, and therefore how loosely you should cling to it." That's a typical godly reaction from Matthew Henry. Ian Murray, who was co-founder of the Banner of Truth Trust, wrote that if he could take one biographical book to the mythical desert island, he would take the life of Matthew Henry and his father. You see, to read this book is to move into a spiritual world that would challenge the godliness of the most mature Christian in this building tonight. Matthew Henry was a prem baby. He was born in 1662, and he was not at first expected to live. And when he was 5, he nearly died, because measles came, and his brother, who was 6, did in fact die. At 10, he heard his father preach a sermon on Psalm 51, the verse that talks about the sacrifices of God being a broken spirit. And it was at that age he came to know Christ in a personal way. Now, if nonconformists had been allowed to go to the university in those days, there's no doubt that Matthew Henry had the ability to go. One of his strengths, for instance, was in languages. He was expert in Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and French before he was 18. And when he was 18, he went to an academy in London to go for higher education, but sadly the government of the day persecuted that academy out of existence. When he was 23, he went back to London to graze in to study law. But all that did was convince him that he was in the wrong place and that the call to the ministry had priority. Then liberty came with King William. Not King William, King Billy as they call him. He did bring toleration with him for the dissenters, or the nonconformists as they were called. And at that time, Matthew Henry began his 25-year ministry at a Presbyterian church in Chester. And before long, all the non-Anglican evangelicals were clustering to hear this young preacher. He was fiery, he was plain speaking, he was practical, he had an enormous ability to light up the meaning of Scripture, and he built up the church so much that if you were a Baptist or a Congregationalist or a Presbyterian, virtually all of those assembled themselves together under the ministry of Matthew Henry in this one work within the walls of Chester. There were 350 members on an average throughout his ministry, but there were many more in the congregation every Lord's Day, and many was the Lord's Day when he saw souls added to the church. The Sunday services in that church were simple in the extreme. The first service began at 9 on a Sunday morning. There was a psalm. Matthew Henry prayed for about 30 minutes, and then he preached from the Old Testament for 1 hour. In the afternoon, after having gone home, for lunch presumably, they all gathered again The psalms would all be different. They had no hymn book. And he would again preach, but this time from the New Testament. Now you would may think 30-minute prayers, an hour-long sermons sound like a recipe for trouble. But those prayers and those sermons had cost long hours of detailed study, and those people heard the whole Bible expounded excitingly, relevantly, clearly, and they heard it more than once if they stayed there any length of time. And the church more than maintained itself for the 25 years he was in Chester. And by the way, for those of you who know Chester, don't bother going to look for the building because it's long since been demolished. Now, his first wife died when she was 25. She got smallpox. And three of his children also died in their infancy. When he buried one of his little daughters, he wrote in his diary, "There is now a pretty little garment laid up in the wardrobe of the grave to be worn again at the resurrection." And when he said it, the congregation sobbed. He may have wept in private, but he was in the pulpit on the Lord's Day following because he said, "Weeping must not hinder the word of God." See, people of former centuries lived very close to death. Matthew Henry was never morbid about it, but privately he did prepare for his end. He said in his diary, "I prepare so that when death comes, I may have nothing to do but to die." By the way, he then went on, after 25 years, to be pastor of a church in Hackney, which was where the mugging incident occurred. His predecessor there was a man called Robert Billiot. And some of you may have heard of the expression about running or moving like Billiot, meaning to go fast. Now that was because Billiot did his pastoral visits running from house to house, even ran to church for the morning service. Now I know the saying's going out a bit today, but that's where it came from. The first Sunday he was in Hackney, Matthew Henry followed the Chester pattern. Genesis chapter 1 in the morning service, Matthew chapter 1 in the later service. Now he was 50. Diabetes had come on him. Although he hated being out of his pulpit, he did decide to visit Chester when he was 52. And he fell off his horse at Tarpley near Nantwich on the way home, and then died from a massive stroke. He left behind 45 books and pamphlets, most of them out of print, and there remains his 6-volume commentary, which he finished to the end of the Acts. Every page, he wrote, is a child of prayer. Now, you would not read Matthew Henry's commentary for critical work on the biblical text, but for devotional and practical wisdom, it is almost impossible to beat it. For instance, if you look up Genesis chapter 26, verse 34, you will get 190 words of comment and a 3-point outline for a sermon. Not many people know that George Whitfield frequently carried Matthew Henry's commentary with him on his almost apostolic evangelistic labours, and he certainly tells us that he had read the whole commentary 4 times through before he began his ministry. And whenever he refers to the author of the commentary, he calls him the great Mr. Henry. Now, Spurgeon held the same opinion about that commentary. By the way, all 1-volume editions of it should be discarded because they delete everything distinctive of Matthew Henry. John Wesley was the man who first started the bad habit of producing 1-volume editions of Matthew Henry's commentary. He did that in 1765, and he crossed out every reference to predestination. And the current 1-volume edition, which may still be on sale for all I know, is even worse. Now it's the beginning of 1994. Here's a challenge to everybody from Matthew Henry. First, to the younger people. When Matthew Henry was a youngster, he signed this statement. I ask you to listen to it. I take God the Father to be my chiefest good and highest end. I take God the Son to be my Prince and Saviour. I take God the Holy Ghost to be my sanctifier, teacher, guide and comforter. I take the Word of God to be my rule in all my actions, and the people of God to be my people in all conditions. And this I do deliberately, sincerely, freely, and forever. Amen. Now may Christ speak to us individually. Could we, could you, honestly sign your name to that statement as he did? Would you even want to do it? And without any hypocrisy either. And finally, to the believers. We end with his last words because they encapsulate the inspiration you get from reading about the life of this man. If one of his friends had been going round noting last words, Matthew Henry called to him just before the stroke. You take notice of the sayings of dying men. Well, come here and hear mine. A life spent in the service of God and in communion with him is the most pleasant life that anyone can live in this present world. I think that's worth hearing again. Matthew Henry's last words. A life spent in the service of God and in communion with him is the most pleasant life that anyone can live in this present world. May God add his blessing. Amen.